that you can't do too much of, and prayer is one of them. I'm going to ask you, I'm just going to give you a thought that God's laid on my heart. We're going to let out at 8:30. And so if you would stand to your feet, I want to give you something that will help you. Something to take home with you. Something to wear to the war. When you're being attacked, spiritually speaking, you fight back. And I want to give you some things that you can wear to the war. Here in Revelation chapter 12, have you opened your Bible there? Revelation chapter number 12. If you remember last week, we talked about Israel's special favor. We talked about Israel's satanic foe. We talked about the red dragon and how that he stood over the man-child and waiting for him to be delivered so that he may devour him. And tonight, I'm just going to mention something about Israel's spiritual war or spiritual fight. So we have a special favor, strategic or a satanic dragon, and then we're going to talk about this fight, this spiritual fight. Look, if you would, in verse number 7 of Revelation 12, it says, "And there was war in heaven." Yes. Of all the places that you would think of war, it would not be there. And it says that Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. So this is where Satan and those that followed him, you can see where we studied this back in verse number 4, where with his tail he drew a third part of the angels, and that's where we have devils or demons. And so there's war in heaven, and we could talk a lot about that. We know who won. Michael's a very interesting. I would encourage you to just study Michael. Who could raise your hand and tell me what the name Michael means? Anybody? We know the suffix or the prefix, in this case suffix, E-L is God. El-Elyon, it's God. El-Ohim, you know, Pastor BJ's been talking about that in Genesis. And so it's something of God. Michael. Yes. To be likened to God. You should know that. That's why we named our son Michael. To be like God. Isn't it interesting that God chose him, now listen carefully, to fight this dragon? What did Satan say? I'm going to be like God. I will be like the Most High. And Michael, who said, I just want to be like him. I don't want to be him. I want to yield myself to him. I just want to be like him. It's amazing what just a little bit of a difference in mindset can do in the angelic world and in the world of we humans. Guard your mind. Don't let your mind go places it shouldn't be. You'll end up with the wrong mindset. The wrong mindset will put you in the wrong places. The wrong places will probably have you doing the wrong things. And then before you know it, well, you'll be living the wrong lifestyle. And you may end up in the wrong place of eternity. So be careful. So there was this war, and we're not going to go into that one. War in heaven. I want to focus just for a moment on the other war. Notice, if you would, in verse number 12. Therefore, rejoice. Rejoice, ye heavens. And ye that dwell in them. Now there's a reason for them to rejoice. Now he says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now this war that's going to be on earth, well, this group of people have no defense. They have no defense against the enemy. But I want us to back up to where it would include us in our warfare. This group of people is going to be a group of people that's going to be here during the Great Tribulation period. We'll talk about it another time, the Lord willing. We've talked about it some. But I want to go back to verse number 10. So after Michael and his angels defeated the dragon and his angels, the Bible says in verse number 10, it says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him." Now here's the war that includes the brethren. You're going to win this war, you're going to have to follow this model. They overcame him. They won this war. Michael won the war in heaven. How are you going to win the war on earth? They, the brethren, won the war. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That's the first thing. Number two, by the word of their testimony. Number three, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Now there's three things. Do you know how to do those three things? How do you overcome the enemy, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb? How do you do that? Think about it. Now they were already brethren, so it's not by getting saved. Right? Yeah. He said they were brethren when they were attacked, but they overcame him. Who? The brethren overcame him. And they did it by the blood of the Lamb. How do you do it? Think about it. How are you going to use the blood of the Lamb to overcome the devil? Number two, the word of their testimony. And number three, verse number 11 says, they love not their lives unto the death. Let's pray. Father, help us in these few moments that we have together. Help me to make clear what you've made to me, to your people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to go back, and I want you to look, if you would, at the last part of verse number 10. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now, I want to say a couple of things here, and I'm just going to move on. Number one, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And he accuses the brethren day and night. That's what the scripture says. Just constantly accusing you. You do know that, right? Constantly accusing you. That's what scripture says. Satan. You say, well, I'm real concerned about that. Well, I've got some good news for you. I want you to write this verse of scripture down. You have an accuser. That's the bad news. The good news is you have an advocate. 1 John 2, verse 1 and 2. My little children. Now, if you're saved, this is for you. These things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. That word means lawyer. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. So Jesus is our lawyer on the case. He's dealing with these accusations. Now, it's really, really hard for me when people start accusing me to just say, Jesus is going to take care of this, okay? And it's hard when people say that about you, all right? It's hard. But I want you to know something now. I want you to notice who the accuser of the brethren is. It's not the brethren. If you're saved and you find yourself constantly accusing people, you're yoked up with the wrong God. Now, listen to me now. I said, if you're saved, if you profess to be saved, and you're always accusing people of stuff, listen, you go confront somebody about what they've done wrong, but accusations, just listen, that's of the devil. Listen to me. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. And you don't want to be a part of that. Now, I wrote this down. Number one, the devil accuses us to God. Remember Job? Yes. You know Job, the story, the account in the scripture. He's accusing Job. He's accusing you. That's what the devil does. He accuses him to God. Number two, the devil will accuse the brethren to other brethren. Yeah, he'll say, well, yo, so-and-so, he doesn't like you. He'll have you believing somebody doesn't like you. You know why? Because the devil is a liar. He's a liar. If I don't like you, you come and ask me, and I'll tell you if I like you or not. Now, I'm just being honest with you. And I'm not, you don't have to accuse me of that. Just come to me and ask me. If you think something about someone, the Bible says go to them. And if you can't get it resolved, then take someone with you and go back. Is that what the book teaches, brethren? Amen. Matthew chapter 19, Matthew chapter 5, the scripture plainly teaches if you have an issue with the Christian, go to them. Yeah, don't accuse them. Go to them. That's right. So the devil will accuse you before God. He'll accuse you before another Christian. He'll accuse you before the lost. He'll even accuse you to you. Yeah. The devil ever accused you and had you thinking stuff about yourself that not even God thought of you? And you were under such a load of guilt and shame, all because you believed a liar who was an accuser. And so I just want to tell you now, this thing of accusing the brethren is not a simple thing that God looks over. It's serious. And so before you go accusing somebody, you be careful. You be careful. And God help me to be careful. If I've got something I need to say to you, I'm going to come to you. And if you have something you need to say to someone, you go to them and get it worked out. That's the biblical, that's the Christian way. We live in an era of lies. People believe everything they read on social media, in newspapers, media. They watch TV and they fill their mind with that garbage. Let me tell you something, brethren. If you wouldn't eat garbage, don't watch garbage. Somebody say amen with me. You wouldn't eat that. You wouldn't eat garbage. At least I hope you wouldn't. Then don't put it in your mind. If you won't put it in your mouth, don't put it in your mind. Say amen with me. Listen, that stuff is garbage. Garbage. Don't feed your mind with that garbage. Get some truth in you. Get some truth. And when you have truth, stand on it. Stand on it. If you want to know what the truth is, go to the person and ask them. That's the Bible way, brethren. We've gotten away from this way. I can tell you, the old timers, when they had an issue, they'd go to the person. But now we're cowards. We live in an age of cowards. They hide behind some keyboard and type out something on social media and think it makes them look big. It makes you look like what you are, a coward. I'm not being mean now. You say, oh man, you're mean, preacher. I'm not mean. I'm just straight. I don't like cowards. If you've got something you need to say to someone, don't say it on social media. You go to that person and let that be between you and them. Amen. Would to God that we would get back to that. Everybody's got to put everything on social media. I can tell you, God's not for that. You have an issue, you go to that person and you get it worked out. Don't bring your garbage to me. I'm not a garbage can. Amen. Deal with things properly. God will honor that. The devil is an accuser of the brethren, and he will accuse you to God. He'll accuse you to me. He'll accuse me to you. He'll accuse you to another Christian. He'll try to bring division between you and somebody that loves you, and he'll have you believing that person or that family doesn't like you. He'll have you believe, well, the preacher's talking to you. Well, I probably was. If you were sitting in the congregation listening, I try to talk to people that are sitting in the congregation, amen. But I'm doing it with the right spirit, you see. I just don't want Fellowship Baptist Church. I don't think it's good for Christians to try to handle things through social media, through going through groups of people to try to get back. You know, I want Brother Devin to know something, so I'm going to tell somebody in his family hoping they'll tell him. That's a coward. I'm going to go look that man in the face and say, Brother Devin, me and you need to talk, brother. There's been a misunderstanding, or there's something going on, and we need to get this worked out. That's the way you handle things, brethren. That's the way you handle it scripturally. And if somebody comes up to you wanting to accuse or wanting to talk down or wanting to spread rumors or gossip, stop them. Stop them in their tracks and say, oh, wait a minute. That person's not even here to defend themselves. What are we doing? We need to go to that person. If you got something you need to tell me about Devin, come on, let's go tell Devin. At least give the man an opportunity to speak for himself. Amen. The devil is a coward. And he's a loser. That's right. I'm going to show you that in just a moment. He's a loser. And he's a coward. Don't take up his bad habits. Look, if you would, in verse number 11. And they, meaning the brethren, overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Now, these are going to be those in the tribulation period. But now, what works for all, what for one group of brethren will work for all groups of brethren. This works for the saved. How do you overcome the devil? By the blood of the Lamb. So, well, I'm saved and I'm under the blood. Well, don't think the devil now can't put thoughts in your mind and can't do things and play tricks on you and bring accusation against you and even and run over you just because you're saved. There's been more than one defeated Christian that I know of. How about you? The devil will defeat you if you don't do what the book says. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're victorious. Amen. Now, we can be more than conquerors through him that loved us, but we've got to do some things, and I want you to listen to me. The way we overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb is we confess our sin. 1 John 1:7, and the blood of Jesus Christ, John, writing to believers, please listen to me now, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we lie, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, listen to me carefully, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, here comes now, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, when we confess our sin, we are cleansed. And when we are cleansed, the devil's no match for us. You know why? Because when we are cleansed, we can be suited in the whole armor. Now listen to me. When you have unconfessed sin in your heart, when I have unconfessed sin in my life, I could fall prey to the devil. The way that we can have victory, the way that we overcome the enemy is through the blood of the Lamb. And by that blood, it means that you can conquer through cleansing. There should no Christian under the sound of my voice be sitting here with unconfessed sin in their heart. The blood has been shed. The blood has been applied. The blood is available. If you've sinned, confess it. Get it under the blood. If you don't, it breaks fellowship with God. It weakens you. It makes you vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. And he will overcome you. You say, well, he won't overcome me, preacher. I've been saved for 50 years. Doesn't matter if you've been saved for 100 years. If you have unconfessed sin in your life, you have become weak because that fellowship with God is broken. But when you confess your sin, God will forgive you and he will cleanse you by the blood to restore that fellowship and to put you in a place to where you can be a victor. A conqueror. So I want to ask you something. Are you overcoming the enemy through the blood? Are you using the blood that has been made available for the forgiveness of your sin through confession? I hope you wrote those scriptures down. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. Brethren, it's important. You could go all the way to verse number 10. That's where the chapter ends. It talks about forgiveness of sin. You can't deny that you've sinned. But you can confess your sin, and God will restore that fellowship, and you will have access to everything you need to defeat the devil. But when you or I walk around, Psalm 66:18, write it down. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I am weakened through unconfessed sin. The way that the devil overcomes us is he convinces us that we don't need to confess our sin, that we can just go on, and that it's okay, that God understands. God understands that He has shed His blood through His Son, Jesus Christ, and that blood is on the mercy seat. And when we confess our sin, that blood cleanses us of our sin. And when we are cleansed of that sin, listen, this is what Jesus meant when He said, you shall know the truth. Now listen to me, and the truth shall make you free. You need to know the truth about the blood that has been shed for you so that you can claim that blood and have victory, victory over the enemy. The reason a lot of people do not have victory over the enemy is because they're walking around with unconfessed sin in their life. You know, I've told you this story before, and I've got to hurry. I've told you this story before. When I first got saved, I thought that you were supposed to wait to the end of the day and say your prayers and ask God for forgiveness. I'd go all day with unconfessed sin in my life. And then I heard a message, and I'm so grateful for the message that I heard. When I sin, I need to confess my sin right then. When God puts His finger on a sin in my life, and it doesn't have to be drinking a mixed drink or smoking a dope or popping pills. It could be saying a cross word to somebody, being rude to someone, being unkind to someone. And God puts His finger on your heart and says, hey, you shouldn't have said that to that person. You shouldn't have done that. Right then you say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Now, I'll tell you something else God will tell you to do. He'll say, I want you to go tell that person you're sorry. God do that, brethren? Yes, God will do that. He sure will. And so don't you go all day or all week before you confess your sin. Right when God tells you, that's the way you overcome Him, by the blood of the Lamb. The blood has been shed for the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Number two, look at it. They overcame Him. The only way you're going to win this victory is to keep a close account with God. Stay confessed up, brethren. The devil is going to use these trials. He's going to bring things into our lives. He's going to try to weaken our position before God so that He can conquer us and defeat us and weaken us. Don't let him do it. You have the truth. The truth will make you free. It'll make you free to fight without being entangled with the affairs of this world. It'll free you up. It'll deliver us to fight the good fight of faith and conquer our enemy. The second thing it says in verse number 11, the word of their testimony. I'll give you three quick things here. I'm not going to go in detail. Number one, you testify to the devil. Three things. Are you ready? Number one, you testify to him whose you are. You just tell him, devil, I'm not yours. I don't belong to you anymore. I've been bought with a price. I'm a son of the living God. Jesus is my Savior. He's my master. I answer to him now. I don't answer to you. You testify to him what Jesus has done for you. That's what the word says. Look at it again. It says, by the word of their testimony, you testify that you have been buried with Christ. You've been raised with Christ. Well, let me start back up. You've been crucified with Christ. You've been buried with Him in baptism. You've been raised and you've ascended and you are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Amen. You testify whose you are and in Christ. Number two, you testify who Jesus is. He's the one that whipped Him. Amen. That's right. My master conquered you. You let Him know. I know where you're going. My master conquered you. And everything you threw at him. That's right. You testify the word of their testimony. Look at it one more time. By the word of their testimony, you testify who you are. I'm a child of God, amen. I'm washed in the blood. I'm more than a conqueror. And you testify who Jesus is. Don't you let the devil shortchange you on knowing who Jesus is. Jesus, brethren, is the Savior of the world. All power in heaven and in earth, he said, given unto me. Amen. You remind him of that when he comes to you with his lies. Number three, you testify to him of who he is. He's a loser. You lost, devil. You lost me. I belong to him now. But you're going to lose it all one day. You've been fallen ever since I've been reading about you. You fell from heaven to the heavens. You got cast out of heaven in Revelation 12 to the earth. Revelation chapter number 20 says that the angel of the bottomless pit is going to come and chain you in the bottomless pit. So you've gone from the third heaven to the second heavens and first heavens to the earth. One day you're going to the bottomless pit, and then from there you're going to hell itself. You're a loser. You're a loser, devil. You're not going to fool me. You're a loser. You remind him, testify to him who he is. Amen. Amen. And then thirdly and finally, the scripture says here, and they love not their lives until the death. I don't have time, and we may do this another time. You can stand to your feet. Our time is up. I want you to know something, brethren. These times that we're going through is not to weaken us. The devil wants to use the times that we're going through to weaken us. God wants to use them to strengthen us. God wants to use them to strengthen us, to develop us. The devil wants to use them to defeat us, all right? And so through the blood of the Lamb, please keep short accounts with God. Keep short accounts with God. Confess your sin before the Lord. Do it right when you sin. Ask God to forgive you. If you've wronged somebody, if you hold bitterness, resentment, hatred in your heart, you need to go to that person and say, I'm sorry. Get it right. Don't let the devil, listen, Ephesians 4 says, give no place to the devil. Don't let the devil have a stronghold in your life now. It'll weaken you, and you will be conquered instead of a conqueror. The word of their testimony. You tell the devil, you give him your testimony. You tell him whose you are. You tell him about Jesus, amen? And then you tell him about himself. He's a loser. You've read where he's going to end up. And then thirdly, it says they love their death. They love their life until the death. You say, I don't know what I'd do if I had to. And we may have to do this. I'm not just saying this. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I just know he's coming back. This world's going south quick. And there may come a time to where a person in our country, now it's going around our world, where people lose their life because they will not recant their faith. He said, I don't know what I'd do, preacher. Well, I'll tell you what Jesus said. He said, don't you even consider that. He said, I'll give you the words to say in that hour. I'll give you the words to say. Yeah. He said, I don't know if I'd be willing to die for him or not. Jesus is going to help you. He is. He's going to help you. Brethren, I'm moved that so many are going through so much. But I sure am glad that we have a Savior. In times like these, we have a Savior. Let's pray. Father,